you one final time to add one more piece to this exercise. And I would ask you now to think for a moment and then illustrate. Think of now the living tree in the center of the hoop. And think of what resources you have to encourage, in other words, to give you courage, to feed you, to enable you to take these at to renounce and to renew. What are the resources available to you? They might be physical, they might be spiritual, they might be the resources of community. What is it that feeds you in the path of, in walking in steps of justice? Take another maybe 5 minutes on that.
Well, I wish that you all could have had the chance to mosey around like a little mouse like I did to hear the conversations and the questioning and dialogue that was going on, because it was really interesting. I enjoyed hearing what you were saying. Again, we should have, it's ridiculous to have such a short time in which to do this exercise, but I wanted to do it anyway. And I also know that for some people like me, who lean towards the left side of the brain, that sometimes color crayons and big pieces of paper are uncomfortable. So thank you for using them if it is uncomfortable to you. I'd like us to hear, we don't have time to have complete report backs, but if we could hear from each group something that was meaningful, perplexing, hope-producing, something from your discussion and your drawing, if you could hold it up in a report back. Let's start with group number one.
Although we drew one circle, we wanted to draw a lot of circles because we thought of ourselves and being in relationships with many people. But if the areas that they, some of our circles broke down, we thought were lack of respect or isolation or self-interest circles. It might be our families, and it might be work settings or the larger global picture. And we tried to build bridges with the phrases that you've had, remembrance, renewal, that type of thing, which might be listening to others and finding out what their experience is like with their story, or acting on that, or feeling overwhelmed by the large scale of problems, trying to act on personal levels and finding some sustenance and working that. But, I guess I'll keep it short.
Thank you. I love that image of building bridges. Even seeing it there is... And what came to, and I shouldn't comment, it's not fair for me to take that opportunity, but I will. I just had the image of the discipleship journey, of walking, you know, of walking following Jesus across those bridges that we can build. That's a lovely image. Number two, group two.
This is Arjani, and our big circle break was about racism, and these really different color people, and they're kind of in a circle, but none of them are joined. They're just with their own kind. And we talked about racism, like, kind of in schools and everywhere in the world, basically. And kind of our idea was that when we talked about it, if you think about it, keeping an open mind to other people and talking about problems instead of just keeping them inside. And we also said that this person in the middle represents, they've got body parts that are all different colors of the people of the world, because we're probably all more alike than different if you look, take time to think about it. So.
That's lovely. I mean, if every one of us went out committed to identifying and confronting racism, what a difference we could make. Good, very good. The third group.
Each of us decided to draw something separately. And this illustration over here illustrates kind of the broken family that's perpetuated on to producing kids who then have that broken family, kind of perpetuation of them. Did I say that right? I don't want to put your words in my mouth. And, this one here has to do with the broken spirit that can affect all of us, poor and rich, and the tears of cleansing and forgiveness and healing. And this one here illustrates, I think, different peoples throughout the world, but hands aren't clasped together, so a brokenness of people throughout the world, but there having to be a willingness to commit and to act on injustices and see. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, but I think this one represents that broken circle. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything more because she didn't say anything to me, so I don't want to put her words.
You know, I can't help but comment because that's so lovely too, and I think about the relationship between those drawings and the tears and the willingness, the commitment, and I think for many of us, we have almost an inability or an unwillingness or a terror of shedding the tears that it makes sense to shed when we see things, for instance, when we see Los Angeles or when we see homeless on the streets or when we see injustice today, the conquest today. Sometimes I think our hearts are hardened, again, from his Jeremiah study, and our tears don't even flow anymore. And sometimes I think that if our tears would flow, the commitment to act would come forth more freely. I just like some of the continuity between the various drawings there. Thank you. Thank you. That was three, so for the fourth group.
Okay, four of us up here. We drew a circle with lines coming out, which we wrote the various things, and the things we came up with were pretty much like everyone else, except when you said to put the tree in the middle,
yeah.
The first thing that came to someone's mind was love, uh-huh. And if that uh-huh. would be the healing thing. Uh-huh. And the thing that most interested me, and I don't know, I can't speak for all people in my group, were the solutions that people gave as to what actions we might take. And one person told about a woman in their community that helped young women, poor women, by helping them get jobs and taking one at a time and just sort of adopting them in, helping them to get an education, a job, taking them around to interviews, helping them to know how to do this. And in that way, it helped many, many people and gotten many people off of welfare just in their own way. I think if each of us reached out, that really inspired me to think that we would each reach out in more of a personal contact. It's real easy if you just send money or it's done as a group or something, but then to take a personal approach. Yes. And it's easy, but certainly a rewarding thing.
Yes. And thank you. The power of personal contact, particularly contact with people that are marginalized in our society, like the poor women were that your friend helped, and the power of hearing the love that is within us. I mean, to me, that translates to the Spirit of God within us. And if we heard that voice above all other voices, how would our walks be different? Thank you. The fifth group.
I wrote down different phrases and things. Yeah, I wrote in circle. And we started at a local level, went to national and world levels and problems. And we came up with different solutions, such as personal contact with people and boycotting and, you know, like legislative things to go.
Just a comment, it seemed like it was much easier to find the broken things than it was to do the rest.
Okay, that's an that may be true, and that's an important step. And it's interesting to see that you did note some concrete things, activity and boycotts, activity and legislative action. One down here, learning and teaching differently. That's nice to see some concrete things there. Thank you.
It's not only easier, it's also what the media pounds in us.
Uh-huh. Interesting, yeah. The brokenness. Yeah. Which points out to the real importance of finding, you know, the places of wholeness and working on those and towards those.
And they often, what we see, say, on television news is maybe a bomb or little kid starving, but that's not the issue. Uh-huh. It's actually a result of uh-huh. the, you know, I think many people only see that part and don't look for the part beyond that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Which is what mm-hmm. they're trying to do here.
Good. Thank you. The sixth group.
started with the personification of the human and how our circle is broken by the different things that break our circle, racism, fear, sexism, and poverty, the things that are inflicted upon an individual, every person. And then we went off into, what did we do there?
some of the things that heal can do start the healing process between.
First of all, we did remembrance, and actually the processes that we would go through of understanding how these things happened and understanding how we would make ourselves accept those things as real. Reading about them, doing, I think there were all sorts. And then we went into how we would go about changing ourselves and working on changing the people that we had, we could. And we went through all sorts of thoughts and processes of how we would keep our support system going and how it would be difficult because once you get excited, sometimes you lose it. And, you know, and I personally was going off into this tangent about how, well, yeah, I have this great awareness and now I'm going to go home and go back to my job and I'm going to go back to all the worries. And Keith, bless his heart, said, just make a Nike symbol and say,
just do it.
So can I explain
when
it,
we
guys?
Talk about, when we talk about overcoming fear, that a lot of people, I think about doing things. And I think just getting them to budge and do something to start it off, I think that's all it would take. And if everyone would do that, the impact would be significant. It's not so much that people have to be involved in a big organization or have to be involved in a big project. It's just doing little things and everyone doing little things.
Well, he was also saying you're living in Chicago. And like you could be driving downtown and you're almost afraid to open your door to go help someone. And that's, I caught that as, even if we were out in the so-called great suburbs, we may be afraid to open the door of our life to help someone because of fear. And it's just a different kind of fear.
But the center of all this is the open heart.
Yes. And all that fits together so well, and I think that's such a key concept, that one of the things that we must do to take the next steps down this path is overcome fear. I think there's fear within all of us of seeing painful realities and of addressing them. And I think that fear is something we need to honor and acknowledge and not be afraid of, in a sense. I remember someone once saying to me, a woman that I respected, a fine woman in my church, who said to me, Cindy, I can't listen to those things because it hurts too much. I just won't. And I her, she was honest. And it was real, and it was a statement of fear that I respect. And I think we need to name that and see it, and as you said, overcome it. And take that first step, and the door to the heart keeps opening.
Well, you know, my initial response was, I came to your class yesterday, I think, for the first time. My initial response is, I feel guilty about so much, I can't feel guilty about another thing,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I took it real personally, and I became really defensive.
Yes.
And it's real hard to, and then I usually think things through afterwards.
Well,
but my initial reaction is always to put up the...
Yes, well, I think that's certainly real for myself. I've walked away from opportunities to listen. I take delegations of people to Central America, and I remember the last time I went to El Salvador, and we were bringing a group in to speak with to listen to the mothers of the disappeared. In other words, the mothers of children who have been taken by the military and disappeared. And disappeared means they've been brutally tortured and everything else. And we got there to bring the delegation in, and I made an excuse to leave. I didn't go with the group. I just couldn't face it again. And I think that in many ways, we can't face hearing some things. And we put up defenses, and we feel guilty. And guilt is a terrible... You know, guilt has two sides. One, it can move us, but it's not the place to stay. And with that, let's close. And I'd like to just offer,
And that was, a person said that you can't be responsible for everything. You kind of have to pick one area and concentrate on that, put your energies into that. And I think that's right. Otherwise, you're spread too thin. You can't do everything.
I think that there's a lot to that, and I think that one of the things that makes that rich is in doing so, we can also acknowledge the related nature of most injustice around us. That the person, the homeless family in Detroit, say you've chosen to work with homeless people in Detroit, is very related to the people in Mexico who are dying of diseases from the chemicals that are used in the plants there, because it's the plant that moved from Detroit to Mexico for cheap labor that is inflicting that upon the person of Mexico. In other words, I think that all the issues that we're addressing are related, and that to work on one, knowing that they're all related, is a very rich thing. Yes. I'd like to just have us close for a moment, maybe take a moment in silence to center. And in centering, if we could honor ourselves, honor the courage it takes to look at terrifying realities, honor the faith that it takes to walk in steps of justice. Let us also honor the indigenous peoples of the Americas and the peoples of Africa that were so damaged in the conquest of the Americas. Let us honor all who have stood with them in the past and who stand with them today. And then I would just offer a prayer that is meaningful to me. Oh God, may we sun our souls in your light. May we drink your light. And so filled with your light, may we go forth to speak the truth in love to this world. Grant us the courage, the humor, the community, and the faith to follow in Jesus' steps, to be with and for marginalized people. Grant that we might honor no person over others for wealth, fame, or intellect, but see all as equally splendid children of you. By our lives, may we join with field and forest, with wind and water, with people of all times and tongues, to sing your praise in the hymn of all creation. Amen. Thank you all for being here. I want to point out two resources in particular. One is a book called Rethinking Columbus, which is a terrific book that gives resources for teachers. And the other is The American Journey, which is a series of 8 reflection sessions on the quincentenary that's available in the bookstore. And I really do thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Yes.